Our sermon text this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Let us first, before the book of Hebrews, turn together to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy, chapter 29. And let's begin reading together in verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 16, and we will read through to verse 20. Now let's hear the word of our God. You know how we lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold, which were among them. Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. The Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man. And the curses written in this book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. And let's turn forward now in our Bibles to our sermon text from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's read together this morning verse 15. We'll be focusing on the second warning, so the second half of verse 15, but let's read together the entirety there of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. See to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Let's pray together again. Our God and our Father, let our hearts be attentive now, as you would seek to solemnly warn us in your word against drifting away from you and loving the world and seeking after our own desires and leaving the Lord Jesus Christ and his people for our sin. Father, be merciful to us, be gracious in our midst, and save us by your grace, that we might ever be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and hidden in the shadow of his wings. We do pray this in his name. Amen. Well, this morning we come to the second of these three warnings in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. I'd like us to begin this morning by briefly recalling the first warning that we looked at last week. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. How can someone be in the church and yet fail to obtain the grace of God. Very easily, actually, people have been doing it from the very beginning of the church. You can go to church and fail to obtain the grace of God by presuming on God's grace and thinking that the mere performance of religious duties guarantees your safe passage into God's favor. And yet, as there has always and ever been, there is but one way for us to be secure in God's grace. That is the way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to church, saying Christian things, hanging out with other Christians, keeping a Bible on your nightstand, doing kind and generous things for others, and on and on and on are worthless methods of salvation apart from saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sinful nature loves to be doing religious things and feeling religious feelings so long as we never actually submit to Christ and believe in Him and repent of our sins. This first warning is designed to shake us out of whatever spiritual slumber we might be in and recognize that we are the recipients of God's grace only in as much as we are trusting Him and believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Never rest in religious duties or religious experiences. Alone, they cannot secure you in God's grace. We are only secure in Christ. Resting in Him and clinging to Him, trusting in His merits and in the powerful efficacy of His blood to truly wash us and cleanse us of our sins. We must never presume on God's grace as an easy or a little thing. His grace is the most extraordinary and costly thing in all the universe. It cost Him the blood of His own Son given up for us that we might be reconciled to Him. And so treasure God's grace and rest in His grace. No one fails to obtain the grace of God except that they fail to trust in Jesus and never come to know Him savingly and treasure God's grace. And so make every day a trusting in Jesus and make every day a treasuring of God's grace and a resting in His power and in His promise. And this warning flows directly now into the second warning, which we will look at more in detail this morning. Look with me there at the second half of verse 15. And remember that it's governed by the same verb that we see at the beginning of verse 15. See to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. I'm sure you notice the correspondence between our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 29 and our text here in Hebrews chapter 12. We read in Deuteronomy, "Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. One who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, 'I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart.'" It's clear from the Deuteronomy passage that this root bearing bitter and poisonous fruit is referring to a person. One who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, shall say to him, shall bless himself, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. And so likewise, the root of bitterness here in Hebrews chapter 12, drawing on Deuteronomy chapter 29, refers to a person who consoles himself in his unrepentant sin. Someone who lives within the covenant community and yet walks in sin, and instead of cultivating the grace of God, cultivates their sinful desires and their rebellious and stubborn disposition toward God's will, all the while presuming on God's grace and so blaspheming the name of the Lord Jesus and his gospel and salvation. Hebrews 12 tells us that such a person has the ability and the potential to spread his or her noxious spiritual poison and defile many, whether they explicitly intend to or not. By this root of bitterness, our text says, many become defiled. Ultimately, this root of bitterness is a person who abides in the church for a time, but whose willful and persistent and stubborn heart breaks out into some open manifestation of sin that causes the defilement of many. By enticing others into similar patterns of sinful and unholy activity. I hope that we all tremble at the thought of becoming such a fear, as such a person. A person whose heart is so filled with sin and apostasy that it bursts out in such a way that would spread that infection to others. I hope that that is something that we tremble with fear to become. How then do we flee such a dreadful condition? How do we then, by God's grace, ensure that we never come close to this root of bitterness that springs up? Well, notice the verb there, springs up. This root springs up, and the Greek word is simply to grow. This root grows up and causes trouble. And what that means is that for some time, the root was actually imperceptible. For some time, this person walked and talked and fellowshipped without bringing any undue attention to themselves as being anything other than a faithful Christian disciple. But you see, the activity was happening on the inside. Inside of them, inside of their hearts, there was grave sin and error and immorality and unholiness and love for the world that they allowed to grow deep and strong. Until the point that that root sprang up from the ground, as roots do. And all of the deception was, at that point, unmasked. Point being is that there was a lot of unsavory, unholy activity going on inside of here before there was any discernible outward indication that something had gone astray. And I think all of us would say that we are now, or at least there have been times when we have deeply wrestled with sins that were predominantly internal, non-visible to those around us, thoughts and affections of the heart that were inclined toward sin. And we will have those struggles until the day when the Lord brings us to Himself and perfects us in righteousness. What we must never do, however, is stop fighting back against those sinful desires. We must never stop caring to diligently tend the garden temple of our hearts. Rather, we must cultivate a greater jealousy over the purity and the sanctity of our bodies and our hearts and our minds, which are temples of the Holy Spirit. We must never stop endeavoring after greater and greater degrees of obedience to God's will, in reliance on His grace, and out of thanksgiving for His mercy, and with an eye to His glory. We must never stop grieving over the sin that yet remains in us, in the way that it does harm to our fellowship and our communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the harm that it does with our fellowship and the communion with one another as well. This root of bitterness, who is apostate of heart, may once have thought that he or she was getting along just fine in the Christian life. But over time, they stopped fighting and they stopped caring. To use the language of our text, they stopped seeing to their relationship with God. They stopped overseeing their growth and progress in grace. They stopped grieving. In truth, they never really did truly grieve over their sin. They realized that actually they weren't grieved over their sin, that actually they were delighted in their sin, and their sin was their true love. After the sermon, we're going to sing from Psalm 101. The deeds of an apostate will never to me cling. May thinking that is twisted be kept far away from me. Brothers and sisters, let us flee this root of bitterness by jealously guarding the temple of our hearts from the love of sin. Let us never become comfortable in our sin. Never tempt a rebellious and a stubborn heart. Let us go to the root of the matter and kill sin in its very inception in our hearts, and never allow it to grow and to grow into a place where it has a stronghold over us. You know the weaknesses of your flesh, the besetting sins that are a particular struggle. Go to the root of the matter, and when you see them rise up to drag you down, put them to death by the Spirit. This idea of cutting out sin at its root and so avoiding becoming this root of bitterness, it reminded me of some memories from childhood. Growing up, my family every year had a small vegetable garden that we planted in our backyard. And of course, when you're planting a vegetable garden, you have to protect your vegetable plants from whatever threats might be native to the region that you live in. In the area of Southern California where I grew up, one of the main threats to growing a healthy and productive vegetable garden was oxalis weed. The dreaded oxalis weed. And if you let oxalis weed grow unimpeded in your garden, it would eventually become pervasive and choke out the roots of the vegetable plants and kill them. Completely overrun everything. It went by the affectionate name oxalis, the destroyer. And the thing about oxalis weed was that you couldn't just pull it up with your hands alone, because all you would get were the tendrils and the leaves of the plant. It grew such that there was a powerful connection between the plant itself that you could see and then the root underneath. So if you tried to pull it, the leaves would just pop off and the tendrils would pop off, but the root would stay very much intact in the ground. And it would sprout new tendrils almost overnight, and before long be back to as big and bigger as it ever was. And so I remember my mom instructing me in the art of oxalis eradication. It's insufficient to pull the tendrils alone. You had to go out with a spade and dig down into the ground to pull out the whole root system. And being as careful as you could not to leave any of the root system behind, because even a couple sprigs of root left in the ground could eventually grow back into the same nasty oxalis weed. When this came to mind, I searched oxalis on Google, and I found my way into a lawn and gardening forum. And the topic of discussion was oxalis weed. And it was absolutely fascinating. So as I was reading through the comments on this forum, I felt like I was reading a treatise on the nature of sin and on the nature of killing sin. Here's an excerpt from the original post that prompted the discussion. Quote, "Are there any safe herbicides that can effectively get to the root and to the bulb? Help, please. My back hurts from pulling these demon weeds." And here are a couple of quotes from the various responses. "Make sure to catch any newly germinating oxalis quickly before it has a chance to set and disperse seed. When it is in active growth, it puts down a long stalk. If you dig it, then you are more likely to have a lasting impact on the population. Any later, and it will be forming those wretched little bulbuls which fall off so easily. You have to dig under the whole area, then separate the grass from the oxalis you are removing. Removing the leaves, of course, is worthless. I have only seen a few of the seeds which seem to work like stickers, attaching themselves to objects or animals or plants and spreading the plague. I've also used Weed Be Gone, which is expensive and, as far as I can tell, has little or no effect on the root. If you just want the leaves and some of the tendrils to die, it works just fine. Very short term and no solution. Advice to the unwary: never let oxalis get a hold. It is an incredible amount of work to eradicate. It will literally take over your yard. I've developed a kill it immediately policy." Apologies, lots of quotes from an online gardening forum, but I hope you see the point. Sin is very much like oxalis weed. If you don't develop a kill it immediately policy, it will grow and it will spread. Advice to the unwary: never let sin get a hold. It's an incredible amount of work to eradicate. It will literally take over your yard. You must develop a kill it immediately policy. Sin, as we have seen in the warning this morning, is contagious. The seeds of sin can be picked up by others, and the defilement can spread. And our sin would love to see us use Weed Be Gone. Our sin would love to see us have these little seeming victories over certain overt outbreaks so that we feel quite victorious and let down our guard against our besetting sins, thinking that our foe is gone forever. And all the while, the sin remains, waiting within, growing stronger in its root, prepared to lash out again with even stronger and greater force against us. As one of the forum responders said, very short term and no solution. Every day we must watch and pray, knowing that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Every day we must adopt a kill it immediately policy relative to that sin which clings so closely. If we allow sin to grow, and if we are cultivating sin in our hearts and minds, it is only a matter of time before it grows a deep and a strong root system and then breaks out into our words and into our actions. We must kill it in its very first stirrings in our hearts and in our thoughts. The difference in our kill it immediate policy is, of course, that we have to take Romans 8:13 into account. After all, sin is no physical plant that we can root out with hand and spade. It is a spiritual menace, and it must be fought by spiritual means. Romans 8:13, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we must develop a kill it immediately by the Spirit policy relative to our sins. A kill it immediately by the Spirit policy. What sins is God calling you this morning to kill immediately by the Spirit? What sins have you grown far too comfortable with? Far too complacent over? Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ has poured out His Spirit upon you. Not to be comfortable with your sin. Not to cohabitate with sin. But to kill sin. To daily die to yourself and live to God as temples of the Holy Spirit, jealous to protect the sanctity and the purity of God's dwelling place. If you have allowed a sin to grow and to develop roots, the thing to do is to cry out for mercy. You cannot defeat it in your own strength. It must be by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ working within you. Having the root of sin doesn't make you this root of bitterness unless you leave it completely untended. And at the end, that sin bursts forth to show that you were never repentant over it at all to begin with. Cry out for mercy now if it has a root in your heart. Rely on grace now. Cry out to the Lord Jesus to rise up and give you strength from the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the body that you might live again in reliance upon God's grace and with the sword of the Holy Spirit. As we close this morning, turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 3. The thought here in chapter 12 is very parallel to a thought that our author has already expressed earlier in his book, chapter 3. And read with me, starting in verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It loves to see you pluck off some of the leaves and maybe one or two of the tendrils and make you think that it's gone forever, but it's not. The root remains. We must, by the power of the Spirit, go to the root to kill the root, that we might walk in holiness by God's grace. And one striking thing about the author of Hebrews is how strongly he emphasizes the communal aspect of our fight against sin. The verb, see to it, in our text from Hebrews 12, is a plural command. All of us, the whole church of the Lord Jesus, the church collectively, is to see to it that as far as we are able, by God's grace, we are to see to ourselves, and we are to see to others, that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up. We should have all the more interest in these activities, because a root of bitterness can defile many. That contagion can spread. But conversely, a compassionate exhortation, a loving encouragement in due season, can strengthen a brother or a sister to fight against the deceitfulness of sin and look to Christ. And so as you're thinking about which sins God would have you to kill immediately, think also, which of my brothers or sisters could use an encouragement in the Lord to fight against the deceitfulness of sin, and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need each other. We need each other's encouragement. None of us are so strong and self-sufficient that we can fight this battle alone without ever having moments when we need others to help us along the way. We are members of the same body. We are filled with the same Holy Spirit. We are battling the same battle, and we are pilgrims journeying to the same blessed destination. What then is more fitting than for our lives to be knit together in mutual edification and encouragement? Let us bear one another up. Let us pray for each other and take an active and heartfelt interest in each other, lest there be a root of bitterness that springs up and many become defiled. As we all seek to cross the finish line of this Christian race, looking to Jesus by God's grace, let us consider one another along the way. Let us see to one another and continually encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, to look to Jesus and treasure God's grace and press onward in the race that is set before us. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we have glorious promises from you, that you are our God and we are your people, and that you have made us to be temples of the Holy Spirit poured out into our hearts. Father, grant now that each and every day, as we meditate upon these promises, as we meditate upon these glorious realities, that they would cultivate within us a holy jealousy over the sanctity of our bodies, which are your temple. And Father, give us grace that we might develop and kill it immediately policy toward our sin, and that we would not just look to ourselves, but that we would see to it that we would be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters, that you might use us as instruments of grace in each other's lives, that we would see to our own hearts, and that we would not just be jealous over our own hearts, but that we would be jealous over the purity of our brothers and sisters and over this family that you have called us to be a part of. Father, we do praise you exceedingly, that the Lord Jesus Christ, above all of us, is jealous with a holy jealousy over the sanctity and purity of his bride. And as we trust in him, he will never allow this root of bitterness to spring up within our hearts. As we trust in him, he will go before us in the battle, and he will save us. Let us ever look to him and rest in him alone. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.